In today's Mishnah, we learn the 14th and final Mishnah from the first parak of Masechet Eruot, and then we'll begin the second parak. The Mishnah begins, Klei Cheres Matzila Lakol, Kedivrei Beit Hillel. So Beit Hillel is of the opinion, and he's really expressing what Chazal understand from that's written in the Torah, that a Klei Cheres, an earthenware utensil, if it is completely sealed, then it almost acts like a protective barrier. It's like a force field, if you like, and it will protect everything inside it from becoming Tamer. So in other words, if it's within an Ohel Amet, meaning it's in the same room, or under the same covering as a corpse, then despite the fact that this corpse should make everything under the same covering tamer, anything that's inside this klei cheres will be protected and remain tahor. Beit Shammai, however, disagree. They say, Einu matzil ela al ochelim v'ala mashkim v'klei cheres. So according to Beit Shammai, the only things that are protected is any food and drink inside this klei, and the klei cheres itself, meaning earthenware utensil, because again, that is indeed the din HaTorah. What is being excluded? That is the utensils that happen to be also sealed in this container. So Amru Lahem Beit Hillel, Mipnei Ma. Beit Hillel is trying to understand, well, how can you go against what it says in the Torah that really everything's protected? Why are the Kalim Tamer? Amru Lahem Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says, Mipnei Shehu Tamer Agav Ma'aretz, Vein Kli Tamer Chotzetz. Now, Ma'aretz, as we've learned in the times of the Mishnah, this is someone who wasn't particularly careful with the laws in Torah and Torah. And the earthenware utensils in Am Aretz's house would assume to be tameh, because he's just not so careful with the laws. And an important detail in this law that we just mentioned in the Torah is that this kli cheres only acts as a protection for anything inside it if it itself is tahor. If it itself is tameh, then it wouldn't protect anything inside it. So Amar lehem Beit Hillel, one second, v'halo tihartem ochalim u'mashkim b'shabatocho. That if you're concerned the kli is tameh, then how can you say that other things, meaning the food and drink that are inside it, are going to be protected? They should also be considered tameh. So Amru Lahem Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says, Kishetiharnu ochalim u'mashkim shebatocho la'atzmo tiharnu. When we're metahar the food and drink and the kli itself, that is with respect to the Am Aretz himself. Aval kishetiharta kli tiharta lach, you made it the kli, say another kli that's contained within this kli cheres, for him and for you as well. What's the rationale of Beit Shammai? That ultimately, as it says, Chazru Beit Hillel, Larot Kedivrei Beit Shammai, that ultimately Beit Hillel agree with Beit Shammai. So the issue is as follows. The first point is, if an Am Aretz says that a kli had not become tamemet, we trust him. In other words, tumamet is more serious, and he would be concerned that we could trust him when he says that something didn't become tamemet. The second point that we have to appreciate is that if someone who's careful with laws and tumantara, he's not going to borrow food and drink or a kli cheres, because these things, they cannot become tahor once they're tameh. Kli cheres, you can only break it. But they might actually borrow another utensil that's not earthenware, like a metal kli. Why would he borrow it? Because he can simply immerse it in a mikveh if he wanted to be tahor and use it that night, provided it was only tameh but other forms of tumah and not tumat met. Remember, when it comes to Tumat Met, it's a 7-day process. You need the water that has the ashes of the paradroma, a bath sprinkled on it. So the concern is as follows. If the law, and this is according to the Rambam, if the law accepted through Klal Yisrael was that a klei cheres that is sealed would protect the kalim inside it, if a chaver, someone who is careful laws, goes to Am Aretz and says, I'd like to borrow your, say, metal cup or metal plate, and he asks him, has it become tameh? This Am Aretz, who may have been in a situation where this, say, the metal cup or plate was sealed in this kli cheres, was in an Ohel Amet. And the law is, the way it's been spread out Klal Yisrael, is that it will be protected. So he would say, sure, it hasn't become tameh met, you can certainly borrow it from me. But he may not have known the detail that this is only because this kli cheres is tahor. And he would assume maybe that it was tahor, he didn't know if it became tameh, this kli cheres. But because it was tameh, it really was tameh. So the issue is, just to put it succinctly, that if we say, according to Beit Hillel, that the klei cheres would protect even klei matechet, if someone wanted to borrow from him, the Am Aretz, who he trusts when he says it hasn't become tameh, would actually be communicating something that's incorrect, because he wouldn't realize that in the circumstances of being in this klei cheres, it was actually became tameh. Therefore, by saying now that a kli cheres does not protect metal kalim, then we can certainly trust an Am Aretz when he says a metal kli that we want to borrow from him, it has not become tameh, because if it was in a kli cheres and not Ohel Amet, he would tell him that, and therefore, in other words, be well understood, and everyone knows that because of this gzeirah, because of this decree of Beit Shammai, that this kli matechet this metalware kli would become tame in those circumstances. In other words, again, it's really, if you go a step back behind this law, what you can appreciate is it's allowing the interactions between Am Haaretz and Chaverim, in this sense, by creating this law that also impacts Chaverim, according to the Rambam and Meiri, that its Kli Cheres doesn't protect this metalware. It allows them to borrow from one another and still interact and trust one another, again, when it comes to these Kli Matecha. And that's why, ultimately, Chazru Beit Hillel, Lord Kedivrei Beit Shammai. Let's now learn the first mission, the second parak. Mishnah begins, Rabbi Chanina, Skan HaKonim HaIdal Bar Dvarim. So Rabbi Chanina is going to testify in the Chachamim about four matters. And this is the first of them. Mimehim Shel Kohanim, during the times of the Kohanim, Lo Nimnu'um Lisrofet HaBasar Shnitma Bevlad HaTuma Im Basar Nitma Be'av HaTuma. If different Kodshim became Tama, they would have to burn it. So what the Mishnah is saying is, they would never hesitate to burn, say, Basar Kodesh, meat from a Korban, that became tame bevlad hatuma, meaning something that was, according to Gemara, already a second degree tuma, which means if it came in contact with that, it would be one rang lower, a third degree tuma, along with something that basar kodesh that came into contact directly with a source of tuma, an avatuma, like a sheretz, meaning that basar kodesh is a rishon tuma. So, by having a rishon and a shlishi together, when they come into contact, afal pishem mosifim tuma al tumato, by coming together, and meaning not being concerned to burn them separately, you're making that shlishi a sheni. Because, as we haven't really discussed in a lot of detail, but we'll certainly, when we get to Tarot, but briefly here, generally when tumah is transferred, it goes down a level. So despite the fact, by burning these two things together, the shlishi is becoming a sheni, you're adding tumah. What Rabbi Yochanan Skana Kohanim is saying, he says, really, they didn't hesitate to do such a thing. Why? Because concern is only making basar kodesh tameh, creating a tamer, but in heightening its level of tumah from, say, shlishi to sheni, that tosefet is midrabanan, is rabbinic, because really food cannot make other food tamer, so therefore Chachamin didn't make exer in that context. Hosiv Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, I'll go one step further. Mimem koanim lom nimen mahadlik et Hashem en shenifzal batzvul yom. Im b'ner shnitma b'tamer met. Rabbi Akiva is explaining, he said, the koanim never hesitated to burn together oil that became contact with a tful yom. Now, tful yom is someone who was tameh. He went to mikveh and he's waiting till that night to become fully tahor. That brings us back to the first Mishnah that we learned together in all of Shas, back in Brachot. Now, that person before nightfall is a sheni l'tumah. So if this oil that's kadosh came into contact with that sheni l'tumah person, that's a shlishi l'tumah. And that came into contact with something that was b'ner shenitma b'tumah met. What's this referring to? We're dealing with a menorah, which is matech, metal, and there's a special law by metal that if it comes into contact with someone who was tam memet, meaning he himself is an avatuma, a source of tuma, that it is also an avatuma. So effectively what we're doing, we're bringing this shlishi l'tuma into contact with an avatuma. And unlike the first case where the shlishi was going up one level, Mishnah says here, afal pishu mosifim tuma al tumato, despite the fact it's jumping up two levels now, meaning going from a shlishi, because it's coming into contact with the av hatuma, it's becoming a rishon latuma. Nonetheless, they didn't hesitate to do so. Sorry, just to correct that last case, when Rabbi Akiva was referring here to shemen of truma, because shemen of truma, once it becomes tame, you're meant to use to light, but they wouldn't hesitate to use a menorah, as we said, that had to come into contact with someone's tame met, despite the fact, when they're using this menorah to burn the truma that's tame, it's jumping up two levels to become effectively a rishon latuma. And those are the Mishnah today.